When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to another season of the Winner's Circle. It's your host, Cody, here. I am taking the reins again. We're going to be going through Big Brother this season. I know some of you were sending me DMs. I really appreciate it. Everybody was like, what's going on? Are you doing the Winner's Circle? And listen, I am here this past week. It was a lot. Next week is going to be a lot. I'm here. I have one day. I fly out for work tomorrow morning at 6:20 a.m. And so I needed to get this episode out. It's going to be these first two episodes or three episodes and first couple weeks of recording is going to be a little difficult for me. So just bear with me, people, but I will be getting episodes out. I'm going to be covering Big Brother this season, but it's going to be a little bit different of a schedule. I have a new job. Start a job at the beginning of the year, very early mornings. And so it's very difficult for me to stay up, watch Big Brother Thursday night, get the episode done, edit it all. I'm doing everything myself. I do everything for this podcast myself. So it's a little tough and I want to make sure I can still get this done. So it's going to have to work on my schedule, unfortunately, which means that the episodes are probably going to get pushed either later in the day on Friday or early Saturday. So could be doing like an early morning cup of Joe watching the Winner's Circle with your boy. Always appreciate everybody stopping in. So before we jump into it, you know, obviously want to get out some of the housekeeping, obviously, because we don't do this podcast all year long. It's just a summer thing. It's for covering Big Brother. And so I also want to mention something because it was something that was happening early last year. At the end of every single episode, I'm going to be doing a comment segment where I respond to people's comments on my previous video. The reason why I'm doing this is because I felt like last season there were some incredible, incredible comments that were happening throughout the season of different opinions than what I was ultimately saying on the podcast episode. Different opinions and different perspectives really on game moves and things that were happening and stuff that was going on opposite of what I was saying on my end. And I actually loved it. It kind of tested me a little bit. It opened my eyes a little bit. And quite frankly, my opinions would kind of shift. And I was like, oh, if that's a really good point, I would kind of shift in my next podcast episode. And so I want that to really come to light. And I want to shout out to people who are leaving really thought-provoking comments on the episodes because, listen, again, Big Brother is subjective. This is a very subjective game. Something that I view as somebody that played the game that was in the house may differ from somebody that's watched every single season and thinks that they're a super or and that is a super fan and thinks that they know what they would do versus what I'm saying that I would do. And so I really liked that there were comments last year that were kind of going back and forth, whether it was in agreement or whether it was disagreement. But it'll give me something to maybe if you leave a good comment, something that I miss out on. If you disagree with something, we can kind of have a little bit fun, a fun segment at the end of the episode. And, you know, the difference that I'm going to do this year is I'm not going to give my early favorites. I'm not going to say who I think is going to win. I'm just going to commentate on the show. I'm just going to talk about the show. I'm going to talk about the HOH, what the moves that were made, how I think it can affect their game, and maybe some things that I would do. Obviously, that's going to stay on part of what we've seen in the past, but I just want to kind of get on here and just mention what it's going to look like moving forward. Obviously, I would love to have guests, but with my schedule, I've already talked to, you know, Taylor and would love to have her on here. Obviously, it has to work with the schedule. My schedule is a mess. I'm just going to call it for what it is. And I'm exhausted all the time. My job is very taxing mentally. My job is very taxing physically. I'm out and about. I'm all over the place. And so it's a lot. And it's really important for me to stay on here and do this. So that's why I'm still committed to all of you. There was a really cool opportunity that could have happened and it just wasn't aligning with what I was doing, but I still have the podcast, still have the Winner's Circle, still have all of you, and I appreciate you. So obviously what I just mentioned, we're going to have some adjustments in the schedule and how this episode and how these episodes are dropped. So it is ultimately very important for you to turn on those notifications, right? Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Make sure you are following the channel on audio and turn on notifications. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel with notifications on YouTube or whatever podcast platforms you are listening to here. Obviously, I'm excited to be back. I'm a little exhausted, to be honest, because I'm coming off of Love Island and Christy and I have been watching Love Island religiously. I don't know if any of you that are tuning in for Big Brother are also avid Love Island watchers like Christy and myself are, but this season of Love Island was exhausting and it almost kind of made me trip up. I was like lost and not realizing ultimately that Big Brother was just like coming. Like the cast dropped 2 days before the premiere episode and I was like, oh my God, Big Brother's coming on. I've been caught up on Love Island. It's actually been driving me nuts. I can't wait for the show to be over. It was like exhausting. It was taking its toll on me. I was up late and then I was having a hard time going to sleep because I was getting fired up because of the episodes. And then I'm waking up before the sun is even up during the week. And I just was like, I was ready for a break to happen on Love Island, honestly. And now, guess what? We're rolling into Big Brother. So I guess I'm going to be sleep deprived throughout the summer again. I think Big Brother's a little bit different. Big Brother's less stressful for me. I don't know what it is about Love Island. It's like an addiction. It's a little more like stressful. I get more invested, I think, and I get more frustrated when, you know, people are going home and stuff. Like, you know, Big Brother, I love it, but I don't know if it's because I've played the game in the past that I don't have that like drawn in attachment to people. And maybe it's because I'm talking about the show every week, almost like a commentator. So I just give like, you know, a wide range of different opinions and I don't really lock into loving or disliking certain people. So I just kind of talk about what happens, but man, that is not the case with Love Island because holy Toledo, there are people that drive me absolutely insane and people that I love. And then it just, I get super invested and then I don't sleep. And then I get really frustrated and then I get mad at myself for getting frustrated, not sleeping. It's obviously it's a dysfunctional relationship. I might have to break it off. But I know I'm not going to. I'm going to go running back to it. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. We're talking about Big Brother here today, people. Okay. Big Brother season is back. We're excited. We're obviously all going to be invested all summer long. Episodes are going to be dropping 3 nights a week. We're going to have an hour and a half episode every single Wednesday, which my goodness, now you're going to, instead of having 3 hours during the week, I'm going to have 3.5 hours. Good thing we have it recorded and we're going to be fast forwarding through those commercials. See you later commercials. We got those on the DVR. Not a big deal. For those of you that watch the live feeds, I always like to mention this early in the season. If you're new to the podcast, I'm not watching the live feeds. I'll follow along here and there on Twitter. And quite frankly, I'll probably be doing it less this year due to my job. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm watching the live show. I have a little bit of a different perspective on the live feeds and what everybody that watches the live feeds avidly think, because I've played the game and I understand that when I'm having conversations in the house, like you can take a conversation that I'm having with one person and then I can go and step into another room and have a different conversation with another person. And there's no way that you as a live feed viewer or listener know which one of those conversations are true until you hear what I'm saying in the diary room, which is what they're ultimately presenting on the live show. So I very much so feel, although the live feeds give us a very well-rounded picture of like conversations and things like that, I think the live feeds, what they do a lot of the times is give like a confirmation bias to like people that are watching and like have a certain view of how a person is playing the game outside of the production edit that we're getting on the live shows. That's what the live feeds do, because you could have the live feeds and see like, oh, this person's playing a really great social game. They're in this group. They're in that group. They're in that. But it's like there's also conversations on the live feeds that we're not really seeing because they can only show four cameras. And if they're like in four different rooms, you're not watching every single one and hearing the audio of all of them. So it's just like the live feeds for me is like sensory overload. I know people love them. I know like it's a big reason why some people come into the comments and like have a lot to say and difference of opinion, which guess what? I'm going to bring that in the comment section. So I welcome any live feed viewers that are avid on the live feed to come in and push the envelope a little bit. Maybe it's going to test my head a little bit. Maybe it's going to give me a different perspective from what I'm seeing in the live show. And maybe I'll bring that into the episode here on the Winner's Circle. So I say that to again mention the comments segment that we're going to have at the end of every episode. Make sure whether you want to tell me or fill me in on something that I didn't see that can give me a little bit of perspective, let's do it. I'm always, and if I don't agree, I'm going to tell you. So we're into this season. We have a cast of 16 people. First thing I want to mention, the first note that I took of watching the episode was how like odd it was going into the Big Brother episode, just like coming off of like CBS, we had the commercial and then boom, it drops into Big Brother, like without the classic Big Brother voice, without the classic Big Brother intro song. And it just was like Julie. And I can't recall if past seasons have done it similar, but I feel like I remember in past seasons that Julie ultimately, I'm shifting the microphone. I'm trying to not have it like right in my face for the video, but I also feel like in this new room, like the ceilings are pretty high and it's pretty empty in here, and I felt like I listen and hear an echo, so I'll try to keep the microphone as close as possible, but I also feel like my deep voice is just like echoing nonstop. Anyway, that's like ADHD at its finest. I'm just all over the place 24/7. Back to my original thought of, I don't know if in past seasons that we were seeing like a similar intro, but I always feel like Julie would say something maybe about, it would cut to, okay, we're having a new season, Big Brother, they're doing a CBS thing. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And then we're into the episode with Julie. She talks about it and then she goes, this is Big Brother. And then we get like the theme and the house and all this stuff. We just didn't have it. It was like this mysterious theme. And Julie was kind of like being this mysterious character, like fitting into the hotel mystery ambiance, and I was like thrown off. And then we just like had Julie talk and we went right into getting introduced to the cast. I thought that was fairly interesting. It did make me feel some type of way. I really wanted the Big Brother intro, right? Like we know and love that song and I wanted it and I didn't get it. So I was a little pissed off. I shouldn't say pissed off. I was a little like thrown off. Anyway, we get introduced to the cast, have the cast here, have their names up. Obviously, everybody, I'm not going to have the names down to a T, but as of right now, we have 17 house guests. We're going to get into the last final house guest when it ties into, you know, the end of the episode when she was introduced. Shout out to Rachel. Man, that's going to be electric. I have a lot to say about that. But we have Ashley, Amy, Ava, Catherine, Kelly, Lauren, Mickey, Morgan. And then we have Adrian, Jimmy, Keanu, Riley, Vince, Will, Zach, and Zay. For the most part, I will say cast seemed pretty good, right? So it's an eclectic group. We have different people from different areas. We have different jobs. I thought Ashley was like, I was like, ooh, she bad. That girl is Georgetown. Got her law degree from Georgetown, if I'm remembering it correct. Like that is wildly insane. Wildly insane. Also, not to mention, she kind of has like a Hannah Chada look to her. They look the same. And like it was really funny. I saw her, I was like, man, she looks just like Hannah Chada. But that's Ashley. I thought, you know, obviously the lawyer, like, I don't know if it's just now because X is just like the lawyer and was a dominant force. I don't remember any other lawyers that have been on Big Brother. But man, I feel like obviously that makes me feel like Ashley's just going to have the brains to do it. But there was other really competitive players, like, you know, you got Ava, who I think is going to come across as like the teacher, the really likable one, is going to be somebody that maybe is like non-threatening, but could, you know, be dominant. You know, Amy is fiery. She's very successful in her job, which means that she's probably going to want to be successful here. We have Catherine, Kelly, who honestly, I don't really recall much about. Lauren, obviously heavy into athletics. Mickey was very like driven in her career, but like very outdoorsy. So can play maybe into two different personality types, which I think obviously makes you a little more well-rounded. And Morgan, who's obviously competitive, high-end track athlete, and now is a gamer. She didn't want to talk about being a gamer. I don't necessarily know how that can help Big Brother. Like Big Brother is a social strategy game. Like, I don't know that gaming necessarily will hurt, but anyway, I think a lot of people just overthink things. We have Adrian, who had the wall built in his backyard. That was wild. Obviously, as a super fan, Jimmy, who I really liked how Jimmy was playing the game early on. It would have been cool to see Jimmy win the first HOH. But ultimately, I think Vince winning that HOH is going to be pretty interesting. I'm very interested to see how Vince plays it. Keanu, who I thought was a really likable guy. Riley, who I thought was a likable guy. I thought it was hilarious when Mickey mentioned that Riley looks like a Southern Brad Pitt. I was like, I don't see it. I guess he does have like a wide chin or like a broad chin. Like, I don't know, like Brad Pitt kind of has a sharp jawline. Maybe I'm just not seeing it. Anyway, we have Will, who is the sports podcaster, former military. Will, thank you so much for your service. That's badass. Loved Will. You know, Will's a little bit older. Will's going to have to stay up with the young guns. This is a pretty like wide range of cast. But again, like Will's like older, he's a father. It just always reminds me of like, can you stay up late when the young guns are up late and they're talking into the wee hours of the morning and then you got to be up super early. It's, you know, that's where I think Will's going to have to get after it. Zach, former ball player, one, you know, was going out. And I liked his strategy in the first competition was a little bit of a gamble, but paid off ultimately to save Julie. I thought it was hilarious how nuts he went. And then all the stuff he was doing standing next to Julie was like absolutely hilarious. And then we have Zay, who I think is going to be, obviously they're going to look at him as like a big, strong guy, but you know, I think he's going to be likable. Like, I think Zay is going to have like a likability to him that's going to get along with everybody. So that's the cast. That's a quick overview. Obviously, good group. I thought it was going to be, I think it's going to be a fun group to watch. I'm eager to see, you know, how they all get along. I would really love to see a season where there's strong strategy, but a cast that gets along so we could see fun segments. We could really enjoy people like forming relationships in here, not just like showmances. I'm talking about like friendships. Like, you know, that's the thing that I really want to see this season in Big Brother. I want to see more of like a fun season where you have the strategy, you have brilliant minds in there. But you have like a group of people that really get along with each other that kind of make the segments that we're seeing on the episode fun. That's really what I'm hoping to look for this season. I think we haven't had that in a little. I mean, I know we had that on season 16. It was like what made season 16 so great. We were just like a wild group that had big personalities. And that's what I'm kind of hoping for here, that we have some big personalities that are fun, that cause just like fun stuff to happen on top of the drama of what goes on in the season. Like, we still had all that. So that's what I'm hoping for. I don't want to have a season of like, I don't know. We had some of it like old school Big Brother last year. Like, yeah, I want to see some blowups. I want to see some drama, but like, I also want to see some love this season. I want to see some love this season. That's what I'm looking for. Which brings us to the drama of herself, Rachel Riley. Maybe, you know, that was young Rachel Riley. This is older mom Rachel Riley. Like, this is, you know, we may see a different side of Rachel, although I will say, like, when I played the traitors with her, she still seemed like the same Rachel Riley of like of old. So I think she just knows how to turn it on for the cameras, which I think will be great. This is going to be a new Rachel Riley, though. Rachel has played every season of Big Brother that she has been on. She's played with Brendan. So this is the first time that she's going to be in the house from start to finish on her own. And that's going to be interesting. I'm eager to see how she does and how she handles that and what goes on this season. I think and I hope, just obviously because I want Rachel to stay at least very early on, I hope they kind of throw her a bone and give her something. It obviously is really tough because I know I'm going back and forth now, but I think I just obviously maybe I'm rooting for Rachel a little bit. Is, you know, in the past, I would always say like, I don't love when they bring people in and then they give them like safety and stuff like that. But I really do think that Rachel is a massive target. Like, she's somebody that is known for being extremely good at this game, is known for being good at competitions, and has won the game. She's one of few people that now has won and has an opportunity to go for that unheard of back-to-back wins. So it's never been done before. Can Rachel Riley be the first ever Big Brother player with two wins? We will find out. It's going to be really Big Brother seasons. I know Nicole was actually somebody that has gone back into the Big Brother house technically and won twice. So I guess that did happen. What I'm talking about, like seasons of Big Brother, like full length Big Brother seasons, not to take that away from Nicole. Nicole, you're a beast. That was, you know, obviously like really difficult. Reindeer Games, I will say, was absolutely insane. But I'm talking about like seasons of Big Brother. Could be Rachel. That would be mayhem. That would be wild. Other notes that I have is that the BBAI Arena is coming back. I put it in my phone what is actually going to be called. It is going to be called the BB Block Buster, formerly known as the AI Arena. Competition will be permanently in this season. I don't know how I feel about that. I think I liked it last year. But currently this season so far, we had a bunch of people that were like scared to even play in the HOH. Like when Jimmy was trying to see, like he was getting to ultimately pick who was playing in the HOH. And there was like a lot of people that were like, one, in the competitions talking about throwing it and not wanting to win. And two, there were a ton of people that like didn't want to compete in the HOH competition. And I'm like, why? I don't know where this whole, I guess like stigma of like being the first HOH puts a target on your back. I think how, if you win the first HOH, that doesn't necessarily put the target on your back. I think how you handle the first HOH will ultimately put a target or not put a target on your back. This is a question that I did want to pose though about, maybe you could have somebody out there doing the research, cause I'm not doing it. But I wanted to see how many Big Brother, how many first HOHs win. Big Brother, I think, was like six. I actually did look that up. It was six. It was Rachel has won it, Nicole has won it, I have won it, Mickey has won it, and one other person. It was five or six, maybe two other people have won the first HOH and then won the season. I would also be very interested in seeing. So that's like a pretty low percentage, right? So winning the first HOH and winning the season, that's a low percentage. But what I want to know is how many people that have won the first HOH have at least made it past week six. Because for people to be scared to win the first HOH, you would think that like people in the past that have won the first HOH has ultimately gone home. And I remember on season 16, like Caleb and Frankie won the first HOHs. It gave them a strong foundation to then grow alliances and kind of insulate themselves in the middle of it. And both of them went, Frankie should have been in final four if it wasn't for the twist, and Caleb went to final three. So I'm interested in seeing, and then I want to say season 20 was like Tyler, like who won the first HOH, and Tyler obviously went to the end. So I'm interested in seeing, like, if you guys could do some research, let me know in the comments, how many of the people that have won the first HOH have made it at least 6 weeks. And then that'll give us like more of like a definitive statistic, like maybe a percentage on why would you be scared of winning that first HOH, and kind of ultimately prove the point of what I'm trying to say, which is ultimately winning the HOH doesn't put the target on your back. It's how you handle the HOH that can put the target on your back. So I'm a big fan of winning that first HOH. It's like, this is a very interesting game. When you're in that first week, everybody is nervous. You are you're an adult getting thrown into a situation that you're not used to, which is ultimately like a high school situation. Like, you go in early, there's a bunch of new people that you have never met before. You're a freshman in high school, and you just hope that you're liked and you fit in with the group and you don't go home right away for something so small, like so small as in, I didn't really talk to that person early. Oh my God, how did they end up winning the first HOH and now I'm on the block? And do I have strong enough relationships to stay? That's why I'm a big, big fan of winning that first HOH, getting yourself solidified with certain people. Yeah, you're going to be annoying people. You're going to be getting blood on your hands, quote unquote, by putting people on the block. But it's like, you know, I don't love the three people, but still, it's like you're going to be ultimately saving 12 other people, 13 other people, depending on if the veto is won. So it's like, for me, I will do it. There's always going to be somebody this early on that really doesn't talk to you. There's probably going to be more than one person that doesn't really come and communicate with you before the HOH. Even after you win the HOH, there's people that you're going to talk to that you're like, that didn't really feel like somebody that I could see myself working with. There's going to be people that you can nominate. You can deal with it, and people ultimately understand, and majority of people are being saved by you and not nominated. And that's how you really can build trust and relationships. And I would take that early on every single time. But you know, who cares what I say? I went for the HOH in my first season. I did okay. I went for the HOH in my second season. I did okay. But what do I know? That was a subtle flex there. Subtle flex. That was a little arrogant. I tell you, you know what? I don't take it back. It's just a fact. Anyway, so we are here, people, really excited about this season of Big Brother. As I mentioned, I'm just going to reiterate it again. These first couple episodes, I'm getting this one out. It's Sunday. I'm going to try to make sure I get this out before I have to fly out, because I'm not bringing my laptop with me with this to edit it and do it while I'm gone. So I'm going to have this out for you. This should be coming out Monday morning. You should be seeing this, getting ready for the upcoming week of Big Brother. I'm not going to be posting. I'm not going to be able to watch on Thursday. I'm not going to be able to watch on Wednesday. I'm going to be behind, and then I don't get home until Friday, late Friday night. So these first couple episodes while I'm doing all this traveling all over the place is going to be tough, but then we're going to get into more of a routine. So bear with me, but I am here. We are going to be covering this season. Oh, I am going to be covering this season of Big Brother here on the Winner's Circle. I appreciate you as always. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel, turning on those notifications, leaving a 5-star review if you're listening on audio. Make sure you leave a comment as well. I don't care if you comment that I stink. I don't care if you comment that you hate the episode. But if you're going to comment that you hate the podcast, just at least give us a 5-star. You feel me? Anyway, I love you guys. I appreciate it. Thank you for stopping in. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to hang out with me here on the Winner's Circle. I hope you enjoyed it, and I will see you next time.